Yes.
Thank you.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to Amador Air District Board of Directors meeting for Tuesday, October 15th, 2019. Would you all rise and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance? Thank you.
You got it.
Thanks. Hello.
There we go.
We're good. There. Now it's on.
Bear killed it.
Okay. So, looking for approval of today's agenda?
So moved.
Second.
I have a first by Director Onetto, second by Director Crew. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. Public matters not on the agenda. Just discussion item only. Anybody wishing to come forward, please do so now.
Permits for me. I was here the last meeting as well.
Can you move over to that side and speak right in the mic, please?
That one's
Thank
a
you.
Easier.
How's that?
That's good.
Better.
That's
better. All right. I can even hear myself. This is kind of a repeat performance. Like I said, I came in just again to reiterate my statements the last time around, and I appreciate the letter going out to CARB in Sacramento as a result of speaking out last time. One of the things that I wanted to draw attention to was it was not equal representation when CARB lost that lawsuit from Lawson Trucking and the Trucking Association, which was marginal from what I understand the results were. There are two different scenarios playing here in my mind. And one was the Trucking Association and Lawson Trucking, who initiated that lawsuit and won against CARB. They play from a different place. They replace their vehicles every 3 or 4 years. It's a business decision. They write them off. They have unlimited funds, basically, because they're very wealthy. And that does not apply to all of us, especially in Amador County and some of the other counties in the state. There are 40,000 people here in Amador County. And I know a number of other players besides myself that have been affected negatively by this enactment and lost vehicles, forced to sell them out of state for a tremendous loss, which if I have to sell my truck, it would only be able to be sold out of the state as well. Like I said last time, I have a 1995 Super Duty truck that has 66,000 miles on it. It's not even broken in. It's not a daily driver. It's basically a moving toolbox for what I do. I'm 71. I'm retired, supposedly, but I'll never be able to. Because of that last recession. I get barely by. I have a friend that's helped. I manage a commercial property in Pioneer and take care of things there for him. I just wanted to make that point that it is not just in terms of how this was decided. All these people that I know, and I think there's going to be someone else after me. I was hoping there were going to be a couple other people that I know that lost their trucks and vehicles to this. But there are tens of thousands left in the state that are going to be affected the same. And I'd just like to point that out, that nobody's bailing us or nobody's going to replace the vehicles that we have to buy to replace the ones that we have now that are in perfectly working good order. And have been. That loss of that 5,000 mile exemption with the loss of that CARB lawsuit by Lawson, now it's 1,000 miles a year. That's 2.74 miles a day. It's further than that to my nearest gas station. where I can fuel the truck. I just wanted to bring that up, and hopefully this is on record someplace, and that there might be something you can do. I know you guys have limited jurisdiction outside because of the state law, but I don't know what kind of pressure can be put on them. But the losses, who's going to make them up? I can't afford to buy a new truck. I can't afford to replace a truck. I couldn't get a $3,000 loan because of bankruptcy a number of years ago from that last recession. I couldn't get a $3,000 loan, let alone a $70,000 loan to replace my truck with something that would be comparable today. So I just wanted to make that point again. And I don't know what options, you know, we have, but the idea is that, you know, it's supposed to be put to the public good, but I don't see that happening. You know, not in our cases. Are they willing to make the payments on the truck that I'd have to replace if I could find one?
Well, just say you hate America, and they'll probably help you out.
Do you think so?
Seems that way.
Boy, I don't know. Whatever the agenda is, I know that it's not one of people, an average person, having any say in all of this. That's for sure. If they're supposed to support us, the people, they're surely not doing it in our cases up here. And by the way, I'm all for air quality. I grew up in Southern California as a child in North Hollywood, and there were many days where you couldn't see or you didn't want to breathe. It was so bad. So the changes that were made are good. I just don't think that law applies in all circumstances, and that's what I would like to see addressed. Anyway, thank you for your time, Jim.
What was your name, sir?
Pardon me?
What was your name?
Ken Wirtz.
Okay.
Sun Construction.
Okay. No, Ken, just... for information, we wrote a lot of letters. We talked to legislators. They were blue in the face. This thing was coming down, and it seemed like CARB had their marching orders, and they didn't seem to care. And what's going on, it's really ugly. They don't seem to care. They're saving the world. But could have fooled me.
Yeah, just not us. Yeah.
Jim, has there been any response to that letter?
Jim McCargue, Air Pollution Control Officer. No response to the letter yet, but what I was going to suggest is the last week of this month, I go to my annual CAPCOA conference, the California Air Pollution Control Officers Association. All of us 36 air pollution control officers meet up. The executive director, Richard Corey, who we wrote the letter to, will be there. And I will make every effort to approach him personally and mention the letter we sent and the situation. And I was even going to offer to see if he would be interested in coming out to one of our meetings, maybe to hear from us. So I don't know that will happen, but I would be willing to approach Mr. Corey and follow up personally.
Thank you.
Jim, you might also, I was just sitting here listening both times. Jim, is it?
Ken.
Ken, yeah.
The 5,000-mile exemption, if they went back to that, would solve your problem.
Absolutely
correct?
Would. And the
don't think that's such a big reach to ask them to go back to.
Well, they in the lawsuit, they lost it, I believe.
Based on that.
But it was a split decision, right?
Well, it was barely passed by the Supreme California State Supreme Court.
I think the legislature could probably fix it if they wanted to, and that's probably the...
kind of where I am.
That's more, I think rather than going after CARB, maybe we should go to the legislature, because CARB is kind of... they backed themselves into a real shitty corner. And now they can't... They can't get out of it, which I shouldn't have done in the first place, and we can't get out of it. Another item of interest, Pocoville Market, I heard, couldn't find a generator. And they lost a whole bunch of refrigerated stuff. I talked to a lady at Common Ground Senior Services. She tried finding a generator. I said, well, did you try a cat? or Cat Reynolds. She said, well, yeah, I did. She said, I called clear down to Bakersfield, couldn't find a generator. People are scrambling trying to find generators. And if you know the rest of the story, CARB has caused thousands, if not tens of thousands, of generators to be taken either out of this state or scrapped. And then we have agencies that provide critical public services can't find generators. We have businesses can't find generators, let alone what they're doing with the vehicles and equipment. Kind of a mess, and they don't seem to get it.
Why don't we put this on the next meeting's agenda for discussion and possible action? Maybe the gentleman can come and speak, but maybe we want to send a letter on behalf of the
agency. I'd like to, yes.
Yeah, I think so,
one,
too.
One other point, too, that I'd like to make is my truck is a 15,000 GVWR rating. If it were 14,000, it would be exempt.
Did you steal it when you bought it?
No.
You mean you bought it legally and paid for it legally, and now you can't rent your vehicle?
Well, I won't be able to, correct.
Yeah, that's the problem I have.
Now, the 15,000 GVWR, between what is legal and would be exempt from the CARB regulations at 14,000 pounds. Now, DMV, I can re-rate that truck to 14,000 legally. You fill out paperwork, you sign that with the result that if you break that agreement, it's perjury. Up to 4 years in jail for doing that, to lower it if you break that, if I'm caught hauling anything.
Well, it's not just the weight, Ken. You also have people have dump trucks, low use. I mean, some of the people do a little bit of backhoe work. They don't run many miles. They're in the same situation as you are. They may be a bigger vehicle.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah. And hopefully something will come of this. Thank you, John.
All right.
My name is Kirk Pearson. I'm the owner of Pearson's Tree Service. On March 22nd, I received a letter from CARB saying that I was in non-compliance. This was the first letter I received from them. It was on this truck of mine. I paid for the registration, everything for the whole year. In March, they're telling me I have to take it off the road. I called them up, found out what I had to do, did what I thought I needed to do. They send me a certified letter on April 30th. This came on, I forget what date I said, but anyway, this came on April 30th, so I had like 30 days to do everything that they said. Take it off of my insurance. Actually, just get it off the road. They wanted a, you know, when you sell it, you fill out the release of liability. They wanted that. Anyway, so in a mad rush and to try to do all this, I had gotten it done. I sold the truck, did the non-op like they asked. The certified letter came stating that they wanted to fine me $3,000 and as much as $10,000 had I not did what they asked. I did what they asked. I was a little bit behind, I think, like 4 days of their deal. I sent them a long letter saying, hey, I did all this, and I on the timelines, the dates, everything like that. I sent them the letter. They wrote me back saying, all right, then we'll fine you $1,000. I haven't paid that $1,000. I don't know where this is going to go. I don't know why I owe them $1,000, and they just came and took my business away. You know, it's the only truck that I had doing this business that I do, and they just came and took it. So I don't know what I'm looking for or what I'm asking for other than this $1,000 fine that they want from me. I don't know what to say about it. I've got a lot of other diesel vehicles. I got chippers that are...
I don't know if I'd want to be going into details if I was you.
Yeah. Well, then I guess that's all I need to say. I just don't... I don't like the whole ordeal of this at all, you know? I mean, I figured they would come after me at the end of the year, you know, when their registration was up and due again, but they took it right in the middle of that year, you know? So I'm out, you know, probably money on my registration that I should still be driving it on the road today, you know, due to the registration and the fee I paid for it.
Mr. Pearson, the Board of Supervisors, even this Air Board, we've been hollering and screaming about this for a long time, and we've gotten nowhere. I mean, other counties, other county organizations have been hollering and screaming about it, and they're determined, hell or high water, they're going to do it. And, I mean, the problem is you know, maybe if you've got a... maybe you've got a 10,000-pound boulder. You might need a big loader to lift it. Well, hey, we don't have a 10,000-pound boulder. We got little pebbles, so they want, you know, not a good analogy. They want us to use a sledgehammer on a fly. Hey, there's a problem out there. You need a sledgehammer. Use it. But on a lot of small operations, you're not affected. The air and minimal. So they're treating everybody like a diesel locomotive. It's killing a lot of small businesses. I don't know what more we can do. Do I have a lot of sympathy for your situation and Mr. Wirtz's and a lot of people I know? Oh yeah, it's a big problem, and the state doesn't seem to really give a rip. I don't like telling you that, but so far that's a God's honest truth.
Jim, is Mr. Pearson's predicament the same as Mr. Wirtz, or are these two different? Different issues here.
It sounds like it's the same truck and bus rule, and it's not just these two gentlemen. I have heard from a number of others, and I think Mr. Wirtz. Yes, there's a list of them. So it's similar. Although this is the first time I've heard about a penalty and this fine being assessed, and I would be more than happy to try and make contact with someone at CARB. I tend to get shuffled into the recesses of that building, but I will do what I can, because it sounds like this fine is just really kind of overwhelming.
To Director Forrester's point earlier, perhaps, and this is I'm speaking for myself, this seems like the tip of the iceberg situation. I didn't realize that it was as big a problem as it is. Mr. Wirtz was the first one to really bring it to our attention, and now Mr. Pearson, but you're saying there are others.
There's others. I've heard from. Yeah.
I think we need to take a bolder position and approach the legislature with examples and keep close track of our examples. And maybe that will get some traction. I think we owe that to our...
Right.
For residents.
I've got a list of folks that have contacted me, Tremaine Pump Service, Bob Fine, Campbell, Armstrong, Kanishka. I've got a list of folks.
All the people that get everything done in this county.
Basically, yeah.
So I think if CARB continues down this road, there's no trucks on the road. Sure. Bad.
Well, there will be some, but you're
businessmen.
Yeah.
Yeah. And if you have somebody, when it's going to run the cost of everything out of sight, and people are already struggling cost-wise. You know, and Jim, there is some programs out there, but anything that helped these gentlemen you can think of?
I can't offhand, but I'll look into it.
Okay.
The other thing, you might want to have Dana Jorgensen here next month when we discuss this, but also he sent me a note saying... Senator Borges will be in Sutter Creek from 5 to 6 p.m. on October 24th at an open house.
I'll be attending that.
Okay. Sutter Creek District. I don't know where
they're all going to be there.
Downtown?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think something like this to try and develop a program with the Air Board here to maybe help compensate replacing vehicles would be a little too much for us, but it would be nice to do something.
Unfortunately, we brought this up with the Air Resources Board before, and telling them that people are going to go out of business with the kind of stuff that's going on, and their pat answer is, well, some people are just going to have to go out of business. Not sympathetic at all, not even thinking about the consequences of what they're doing.
Okay. Oh, anybody else? Okay, hearing none, seeing none. Move on to administrative matters.
I'd like to move to approve the minutes with one change on page 3, where it said that I left the meeting. I'd like it to put a reason down. Had to leave the meeting for a doctor appointment in Sacramento.
Okay.
And that same thing's going to happen in about 15 minutes. So, unfortunately, when you get a detached retina, that's what happens.
Okay. We'll make note of that.
Okay, Jim, for a doctor appointment in Sacramento.
Sure.
And if you could...
We'll add that into the
note
minutes
on there today, too.
Yeah. Yep.
Thank you. So that's my motion.
Second.
Moved by Director Forrester, seconded by Director Crew. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Okay, public hearing for adoption of emergency episode plan.
Okay. Jim McCarr, your pollution control officer. And you got a glimpse at this last time. We were going to have this public hearing at the last meeting, but the CARB requested that we hold it to this meeting because they wanted to do some additional review. And just so you know, this is a federal regulation that's kind of filtered down through the state Air Resources Board and then is imposed upon us. And the federal 8-hour ozone standard was lowered to 0.070 parts per million. We were measured at 0.071 parts per million for the 2015 ozone standard, and that placed us in the non-attainment for the ozone standard. In addition, Amador County had more than one day with a maximum one-hour ozone concentration greater than 0.10 parts per million between 2014 and 2017. And I think it was only two. Yeah, so when I write here that we had more than one, I should really wrote a total of two, because that was it. Because of this, the district is required to complete an emergency episode plan. The emergency episode plan provides the basis for taking action to prevent ambient ozone concentrations from reaching levels which could endanger public health or to abate such concentrations should they occur. It identifies four levels of emergency episodes, and I've outlined those here. Health advisory is number one. Number two is health stage one episode, warning stage two episode, emergency stage three. And so we had assistance from our consultant, air quality engineer, Mr. Ray Kapai. He's here today. What we're here today for is to take any public comment on this plan and then approve the resolution authorizing the emergency episode plan.
Jim, what I see is we had 2014, 15, and 16. We had one day in 15 and one day in 16.
Yes.
That's it.
That's
and they're
it.
Making us put this
yeah.
emergency plan together.
Yep, that's right.
That's pure asinine.
Jim,
there's be a pattern here.
What yeah. really?
Everything.
What really triggers this? Because it started off as ozone, and then they start talking about NOx and organics and things like that. What really triggers the emergency plan? That ozone.
Ray might be able to talk to that, but I think it is the ozone. But then you have those other things that, I guess, contribute to it, and I'll let Ray talk.
Do you have thresholds for that, or how does that all work? Why aren't we just focusing on the ozone?
Ray Kapai, consultant to the Air District. Let me start off by saying, first of all, the word asinine is not the word I would have used. I would have used a stronger word. this is a federal program. It was really designed for Los Angeles, Riverside County, and San Joaquin County. It was not designed for rural counties like us, but we got swept into the program. And once they've passed the rule, the entire state has to comply. The other point I'd like to make before I answer your question is that just about all the ozone that we get in Amador County is transport from other areas. We could close every business. We could close all the trucks. Our ozone concentration would not change. The same applies to Mariposa, Tuolumne. So this thing is basically a paper exercise to satisfy a regulation. The practical effect of this is none. There's going to be no practical effect that we put this together that is going to clean the air in any way. So that's, in a nutshell, is you know, we're a puppet on a string. They ask us to do it. We did it. We went back and forth at least four iterations to satisfy the Air Board. The Air Board was satisfied. They went up the chain to EPA. Then EPA started, you know, and they said, well, we don't like this thing and we don't like this thing. And we went up three or four times. Yeah. And frankly, I think it's just a total waste of time and money. But that's the situation we're in. Amador, Mariposa, Tuolumne, all of these districts are in the same boat. I'm working with the others also, by the way. Going back to your question about the NOx and organics and so forth. See, the thing about ozone is not emitted by the factories or cars or trucks. Ozone is formed in the atmosphere in the presence of sunlight and oxides of nitrogen and ROG, organics. And
right,
so
that explains it, yeah. So I guess having read through this, when we hit this critical point or whatever, I forget what they call, maybe once every 3 years, then we're going to have to shut down the businesses, have to stop their operations?
Only if we reach that level three, which I don't think we would ever reach. I think that is only there
ever gotten
in
to
case
level
it's
three
needed.
Then?
I mean, if you take a look at, if you have the document in front of you, if you look at figure 3 on page 7.
Yeah.
Now, there I plotted the one-hour ozone concentration in parts per million for Amador. And you can see there's a very clear decline in the improvement of air quality. So there's no way that we would ever need those things, but you know, it's in the regulation.
Why is that going down then? Is that because other neighboring counties like San Joaquin are doing a better job, or what?
San Joaquin is the biggest one that's affecting us. And as I said, we have absolutely no say in what happens. I mean, between their emissions, and their emissions are getting worse each year. And then, you know, Mother Nature, the winds push the stuff against the mountains, and, you know, here we are.
But if their emissions are getting worse, why is it going down then?
Well, I would say that a couple of reasons. Their emissions have gotten worse, but at the same time, they've also had implemented programs. For example, they've reduced their NOx emissions substantially, which has helped. So their ozone concentration is also going down, even though their emissions haven't. So they've also made progress. But the problem is that the standards keep shifting. So all of a sudden, at one point, we were in total attainment of the state and federal regulations. But then they change the goalposts and say, oh, by the way, we don't like the standard. We're going to be lower. So all of a sudden, a community which was in complete attainment and compliance with the regulation became non-compliant. So that's sort of...
2008, we were attainment, 2008.
At one time, in fact, San Joaquin was attainment at one time, but... that's kind of a long-winded answer to a short question.
So the likelihood of us ever having to shut down businesses is pretty small?
I can say it will never happen. It just
have to go along with this?
Can we put some sarcasm in the resolution, like where it says, whereas Amador County had more than one day, and put in parentheses, only 2 days with the maximum 1 hour, and then on the second page, the Board of the Amador Air District does hereby approve the proposed ozone emergency episode plan because we had two days with maximum 1 hour ozone concentration greater than. I want to make it, like, this is a farce. I want to put some sarcasm in
lucky
there.
Lucky no one was killed, kind of thing.
I'm not kidding either. I want to throw it in their face a little bit. What are they going to do? Ray, are they going to slap us for that?
No. We can go on the public record.
They'll cut the standards some more.
Are these guys any way related to CARB and the diesel? Talk to each other?
Good question.
Okay, so...
we'll have a public hearing, and then I don't expect we'll have comment, but we'll accept any public comment, and then we'll close and we'll go to approval or any changes such as Supervisor Forrester, Director Forrester mentioned.
Okay, I'd like to open up a public hearing. Anybody wishing to discuss this? Move to close the public hearing.
Second.
Motion to close the public hearing in a second. All in favor?
Aye.
I'd like to approve the resolution with the two, at least the two changes I just suggested. Did you get both those, Jim?
Same again.
On the first page, third whereas from the bottom, whereas Amador County has had more than one day, I'd like to put it in parentheses, only 2 days with a maximum 1 hour. And then on the second page where it says, now therefore be it resolved, in the end of the line, proposed ozone emergency episode plan. Let's see. Does hereby approve that because of the 2 days of maximum 1 hour ozone concentration greater than 0.10 ppm between 2014 and 2017. Maybe we say only because of the 2 days of maximum 1 hour ozone concentration.
Yeah, that sounds better, I think.
Can we put it in red also?
Yeah. Hmm?
Can we put it in red also?
Yeah.
In all capitals.
I mean, we could dress this up a lot more, but I'd like to at least put a couple of things in there, throw in a couple of jabs. What do you think?
I like it. I'll second that motion if that was a motion.
It was a motion.
Yeah. Well, under discussion, I will say I think Trump has been doing something basically not allowing California to have a waiver on the federal clean air standards, which would, if he could do something like that, maybe some of the gentlemen could keep some of their older equipment, some of their older vehicles, and the state of California is just going nuts over it. That's all I have to say.
Okay, so I have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
A motion and a second were by...
Richard and...
Okay, Robin.
And with that, gentlemen, I have to bid my adieu. I've done my good deed for the day, so...
That was a good one. I like that.
And I got to see if I can get my eye fixed. Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
Next item would be RAP funding.
Yeah, and... the RAP funding, possible project at the August 20th, 2019 meeting of the Air District. Staff provided an update on the CARB Rural Assistance Program funds, RAP funds. Now, normally we designate these funds to CAPCOA to administer this grant program for us because there's a lot of, red tape and strings attached to these programs. And, CAPCOA ran into a problem, and they asked of us to reaccept the funds back for implementation of this particular cycle. And it was due to time and resource. We designate it due to the time and resources required to oversee this. They wanted the funds redesignated back to us. because they were at the risk of losing funds, and I didn't want to see $200,000 going away. So CAPCO assured the district they would continue to administer the RAP program and projects on behalf of us here at the district. CAPCO is looking to award a grant to a local entity and had considered a possible Amador County Unified School Bus replacement as a project. Direction to staff was to bring back options for expending the RAP funds. So what I was able to find is at least one other possible project. So the first one is the school bus for the school district. There is an interest there. And then the second one is Bob Fine and his Masticator replacement. And he came to our last meeting. And you have a little bit of backup information on both of these possible projects. I would just like to get some direction from the board on which direction the board would like to see us go.
Question on that. This program, as far as the RAP funding, how many things, there's only $200,000, I understand that.
Right.
How many things is it available for? Is it available for trucks and chippers or masticators or school buses or?
It's a very, like I said, there's a lot of red tape and a lot of strings attached, and what they have to do, what CAPCOA does in conjunction with CARB, is they do a cost-effective analysis, and they do a kind of almost like modeling or a pro forma kind of analysis. And so it's very specific to each piece of equipment, Brian, and how it comes out of the back end of this kind of this calculation that they put it through. So I don't know exactly what – I can't say blanket what is and what is not allowed. All I can say is we can take something and we can present it for review.
So neither of these – two projects have gone through that scrutiny yet?
They have.
Oh, they have?
Both of these have.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, initially both of these have, and I've gotten some information back from CAPCOA on both of them, and from what I understand, both of these projects would qualify.
It would seem, Jim, that just on the surface, that if Bob Fine's masticator and brush removal for fire and all that kind of fits more the things we've been working on.
Yeah.
But he is an independent businessman, and do we open the door to, because there's only a finite amount of money.
That's a tough one.
Yeah, that's, I'm just saying I've been agonizing for that very reason.
Can we contribute to both projects with the funds, or do we have to choose one?
I see. So, well,
can we give some to both?
Split it in the middle and go half to one, half to the other.
Well, yeah, whatever makes sense.
Yeah, I can look into that. I don't know, offhand. I can look into it though.
Or percentage wise based on the cost.
Mm-hmm.
Because I imagine those two might be quite a bit difference in the cost.
Yeah. Well, yeah, the bus, from what I understand, it's well over $200,000. And from what it looks like, the masticator engine is $260,000. So both of these are going to exceed. Each one of these
right.
is going to exceed.
So we're only going to be due a percentage either way.
Wow.
So is this a reimbursement type program? Take the masticator, for example. There's not enough money to cover the entire cost, even if we were to throw it all at the masticator.
That's right.
How do we know that he has enough money to cover the gap? And does he have to go through the process of replacing the engine and then seek reimbursement?
Yes. He would. It is a reimbursement. That's right.
Only thing I have a little bit of heartburn over myself is if it was a program we can make available to if he's serving a niche thing that there's only one in this county or something like that, I understand it.
Mm-hmm.
There's other people out there, I think, doing similar work, and would that program be available to them?
I think, in general, this program is open to to anyone and everyone that would qualify for it. As far
the funding for them, I guess, should be my question.
But this particular funding, these $200,000, I know there's a time constraint on this, that these funds do have to be used, I think, by the end of the first quarter of next year. So even though we're in October, we're rapidly moving to the point where these funds would need to be designated and utilized. So as far as being able to come up, like, I don't know, Brian, if what you're saying is split, you know, give $20,000 here, $20,000 here, I don't think we can do that with these funds. But in the future, if these funds are available again, I think they would be open to anybody and everyone that are interested in them.
I'm saying my only concern is going to a private party. It's not something we can do for other people, generally.
Well, and
the program out there, what's available, and there's a pretty good-sized pot of money, more than one person can probably access it.
My concern that dovetails with Director Onetta's point is Fine knows about this program, but who else out there has a need that doesn't know about it because we haven't done any outreach?
That's true.
Is that the best?
Yeah.
Even if it's a private party and we agree collectively that that's okay, is that the best project? We don't know because we haven't done any outreach.
Right. Right. And again, usually this is left entirely to CAPCOA to seek out these projects. And there actually is a kind of a request for projects at a state level. I know that CARB works with, like, I think, equipment distributors and manufacturers and retailers. And so some people do find out about these projects through the state dissemination of information. But you're right. We haven't done anything here specifically locally.
So what is it that we would have that would guarantee all of our money this money was going to be utilized for what it was intended for? If it goes to a masticator that somehow down the road right off the bat either ends up being destroyed or stolen, then that money is just kind of squandered?
No, there's a contractual agreement that goes along with this money that requires a certain period of years where this piece of equipment has to be in use and it has to operate for a certain number of hours, like I think, 1,000 hours a year or something like that. And so we will keep track of it, and they're required to comply with that.
Do we have a sense for which of these projects is most likely to move forward if they were awarded the money? And my point is, we're concerned we're nearing the end of the cycle and the money needs to be spent, and there's a short time frame within which to do that. If we split the money and gave $100,000 to each project and Bob Fine has to come up with $160,000 someplace else and can't within the little bit of time that's left, then we've wasted money. We left money on the table that could have been put to a better use just because the project wasn't able to move forward.
That's
so
right.
Which of the two projects, if either, do we have enough information about either of these projects with respect to their ability to move forward?
Yeah, and I can tell you from my experience, Mr. Fine has come in to see me at my office, I think at least three times now, and he's very anxious and interested in moving forward with this project. The school district, honestly, they've been a little bit slow to respond, and there's been discussions with the school district for months where they have not followed up, or there's been some sort of change in staff or personnel at the school district. And if I had to make a guess, I would have a higher comfort level with Mr. Fine than I would with the school district.
That's good perspective. Thank you.
What type of
my light's on, maybe.
It's going in a masticator.
What's that?
The Bob Fine, would it be replacing just the engine or the whole machine? It says engine, but...
It says engine, PrimeTech 175, but my
260. I didn't think that. I mean, it had to be almost have to be a machine.
I believe it's the whole machine. And by the way, it's his robotic masticator. I don't know if you've seen that thing work, but he's got one now that's going to have to be taken out of service. And I believe, Director Onetto, that he's replacing the entire machine, even though Rachel wrote engine.
My notes from the last meeting indicate that it's the only one in the state.
Yeah, yeah.
What does he use the masticator for? Is this for just brush clearing and forest management type stuff? Or?
That's right, yeah. And he's doing some other work, and as a matter of fact, I had him down at the landfill because, you know, we're going to be doing some soil work. And what he does with this thing is he says he can till 12 inches deep into the soil and take all the brush and grass and whatever vegetation there, and it gets chipped up, ground up, and incorporated as an organic constituent into the 12 inches of soil. So actually, it has an interesting use there to me that I may need at the landfill.
If you want to go see an example of what the masticator does is Inspiration West. If you go down, I think it's about a half a mile. I think there's about 5 acres he's done out there, three different property owners, and they're all in conjunction.
Yeah.
Did an excellent job.
Jim, typically the Air District would not be in a position of making this decision. No. CAPCOA would be doing it.
Right.
Does CAPCOA regularly award these monies to private parties?
They do.
They do.
They
okay.
do.
So we're struggling over the private party matter. And maybe we shouldn't be because it sounds like a routine practice.
It is.
Code.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's good to know. Thank you. The last point that I have is with the private party question off the table, my remaining concern would be that we haven't gone to any length to announce the availability of these funds so that other competing private parties, if there are any, might throw their hat in the ring, if you will.
That's true.
For instance, you might have private parties right there. I don't know if vehicles would qualify or chippers or whatever, but...
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's one thing I think I'm having some heartburn over, so it would be one thing helping get a portion of a sale or a portion or something. They're putting some skin in the game.
Mm-hmm.
But to hand somebody $200,000 on something that's going to cost $260,000
is... It's a significant amount of money, no doubt about that. One thing that... and we have the ability, I think, although... We will be pushed tighter. We could bring this back in January, and by that time, if we knew very certainly which direction we were headed, we could have maybe done some additional outreach and see if there's other folks in the community that would like to take advantage of this. And then another thing is I would like to get the project list from CAPCOA because they operate on a master project list for each district. So they already had a list of businesses and entities within Amador County that have had some interest in these funds. And so Bob Fine was apparently the next qualified one on the list. A lot of them fall out because they don't qualify, because they either went out and purchased the piece of equipment, or it wasn't a Tier 4, or it didn't meet the calculation requirement. So that's what I mean about all the red tape and strings.
Okay, so yeah. it might really limit, and you said like 1,000 hours, that's a fair bit of use.
Yeah, and then there's the contractual arrangement that they have to maintain.
I'd feel more comfortable doing that outreach,
uh-huh,
just so that we've covered all our bases. And then if we make the award to for example, Bob Fine, we've done it after evaluating other options.
Sure.
Candidates, I should say.
Sure.
That would make me sleep better.
You'll also look into whether we can split the funds.
Split the funds, too.
And so can those funds be available to somebody who may need to replace a larger truck that's now being forced to be taken off the road?
That's a good question. And actually, Mr. Fine has a large truck that he originally put into this program, and it was disqualified because it was a truck. And so his Masticator was his second choice. He actually was pursuing a truck replacement. And no, these funds were not able to be used for truck.
And Jim, you said the time frame is spring for the award?
Spring for the award, yeah. So we do have some time, but I don't want it to get away from us. So split the funds and do some outreach. And, if I felt like the time was becoming a little bit of an issue, I might request a special meeting of the board if we needed to.
Yeah.
Well, if we can cover the outreach, I think we could still do that.
Yeah.
So we want to open up this for public comment. Time.
Ken, again, something that I forgot to mention that I thought was kind of interesting about how the law interprets the CARB requirements. If I took my truck and converted it into an RV, took the utility body off, it would be exempt. Now, that's a little confusing because that means I could drive it unlimited miles.
My guess is CARB is counting boats and people. And if they start hitting all RVs, they'd have probably a PR nightmare in their hands of people going nuts, so they're trying to just hit a few.
Exactly. I find it kind of ironic that you could have a truck that drives fewer than 5,000, fewer than 4,000 miles a year, but if I convert it to an RV, I just put a camper on it, take the body off, the utility body off, I can drive unlimited miles in the state. That's just the kind of nonsense that we're trying to deal with.
Oh, no, I agree. That's a good rattlesnake.
Yeah.
Rattlesnake's a rattlesnake.
Thanks again.
Thank you.
Was that it, Jim, for the wrap?
Yeah, I think I have direction to bring it back next time and a special meeting if necessary, but a question on splitting the funds and performing some outreach to see if there's other potential projects in our community.
Okay. Further discussion with? Okay, so we'll move on to our next item. Special projects request.
Okay, this is special projects request, and I have two of them on here. And, typically when we have our own programs here that we administer, create and administer locally, we set some sort of constraints with the programs, and that's how they're approved by the board. Occasionally, some projects do come in that don't exactly meet all the requirements that we've set out. So I typically come to the board to seek direction on those, and that's what these two are. The first one is the City of Jackson's project to replace two vehicles with a hybrid vehicle and an electric vehicle. The vehicle replacements are being provided by a grant from ACTC, which requires the city to provide $8,374 in matching funds. And then there's an additional piece. The city wants to upgrade two existing electric vehicle charging stations, and $7,735 in matching funds are being requested of the city. And again, that's from ACTC. The city is seeking a total of $16,109 in funding from the Air District. And before we discuss that, I just want to mention the second one is Lockwood Fire Protection District is seeking a grant for a generator they had removed last year. They are seeking $9,656 from the Air District in grant funding. So those are the two special projects. And I know Director Stimson could speak to the Jackson and Director Onetto possibly to the Lockwood.
Kind of set it all right there in what you have in here. So,
you know, I did have one question. Why I didn't think about ACTC, I don't know, but just a curious question, Bob. This is replace a late model diesel utility truck used by Superintendent of Public Works. I was just wondering if he's Superintendent of Public Works. Will he need a pickup, or he got another pickup that they use, or I had a kind of a thought, and wasn't sure about that. So
you're saying the truck's going to be replaced with an electric car?
Yeah.
And you're asking if he no longer needs a truck, or
I think that's the case. That's the rumor I heard. That's what I heard. Yeah.
Okay.
Doesn't need a truck.
I was hoping Susan would be able to make it, but she's at jury duty today.
Jury duty, yeah.
But, so like our building inspector's truck that he drives, he doesn't need to drive that either. You know, just inspecting buildings and stuff, so.
Yeah, like, I can understand that, yeah.
Yeah.
But just Public Works is going, I think Public Works have a shovel and a pipe rack.
So do we know, Bob, the ACTC grant, does that require that the replaced vehicles are taken out of service, that you demonstrate that they're taken out of service? That's a string that's attached to our other grant programs, the CCAD program, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
You have to demonstrate that those are taken out of service. That requirement should apply here if we consider the request. How do we know that that's going to happen?
I think that's something I can make sure gets done.
Well, do we have to do that?
I don't know as we have to. It's
been our policy
with all the other programs.
It's been our policy all along. The other concern I would have is not with the first two requests, replacing the two vehicles, but the third request to upgrade the charging stations. I don't know how that fits with our philosophy. But installing new charging stations, we've pursued that, of course. Upgrading existing charging stations with newer equipment, faster equipment, I don't know how that meshes with our goals.
And that's why it's here, because it typically, our program was established to install new charging stations.
If you install the fast one while you're doing it, fine, but the upgrade is kind of, I would not disagree.
Okay, well, maybe we can go back and relook at this at the city, see if it would be better off with just installing new stations.
Yeah, I'd rather see two new stations go in than upgrade the old ones. At least with Air District money.
Okay.
Yeah, I can live with the vehicle parts too. As long as you got a truck that you can use, that's important.
Oh yeah, we want trucks.
So the $8,374. We would go with that, but we would hold for the time being on the $7,735 for the charging stations.
That'd be my recommendation.
Okay. Yeah, I'm okay with that.
But I want some confirmation that those two vehicles would be taken out of service. My support for that would be linked to that concept, that they're replacing older vehicles, taking the older vehicles out of service. It's a link to air quality improvement, right?
Right.
Adding to the fleet isn't consistent with our philosophy either.
Right. And typically we do require that for our programs, as well as we usually reimburse. So we require, you know, proof of payment and purchase before we release funds. So just so you know, that's usually what we do.
Director Peters, maybe a question. A lot of times, as you well know in the cities, if the superintendent's truck, maybe not that particular vehicle, but one down the line, say there's five in that department and they got a 94 that they have to jump start every time. So a vehicle, not that specific vehicle.
Good point. Good point. Get an old non-compliant vehicle off the road.
Sure.
Yeah. Yeah, I
good point.
Okay, thank you.
Then we could probably take both of these at the same time. And the other one is the Lockwood Fire Protection District. Now, they had removed the generator and replaced it already. Typically, we require them to you know, not go out and purchase up front. So that's why this one's here before you today.
So do we have funds for both of these types of projects?
We do. We certainly could provide the funding for these projects.
Okay.
Okay. We'll open this up for public comment at this time. Hearing none, seeing none.
Well, I make a motion that provide to the City of Jackson $8,374 to go towards upgrading two vehicles they have now, and also $9,656 to Lockwood for the generator that they'd purchase. And that's my motion. And
okay.
Also, and also one more thing, we in that I guess the City of Jackson will be taking two vehicles out of service.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Second. Or I think he had a second.
That was down there.
Sorry, second?
Yeah.
Take it back.
Stop, and then he started again.
Had a motion by Director Onetto and a second by Director Brown. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
And then you'll work with the City of Jackson to see about the charging station.
Yeah, I can follow up.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Thank you. Okay, next item is smoke reduction bin program.
Yeah, and this is our pine needle bins. And, you know, at the March 19th, 2019 meeting, the board authorized the Air District to work with ACES to develop options for the smoke reduction bin program. Staff was directed to remove the unmonitored, unattended bins and bring back to the board an alternative program to help offset the impacts of eliminating the public bins. With the help of ACES staff, we came up with the free pine needle disposal days. We did one in June, July, August, and September of this year. They were held on the third Saturday of each month. County residents were allowed to take their green waste to the Pine Grove Transfer Station free of charge. ACES staff was on site and assisted residents and helped them with their loads. Overall, the program was very well received, and we received a lot of positive feedback from the community. I've got some stats here. Total tonnage, 142.66 tons. Total cost to the Air District, $13,872.84. And then the vehicle counts, 87, 72, 80, and 99. We tried different types of advertising and outreach with these events. And so we feel like the September one, we did the most thorough and comprehensive outreach, and it was reflected in the participation. So with that, just looking for feedback and direction from the board regarding this program.
sounds like you know, this has been a good program for some time, so I would like to see it continue. People in Pine Acres like to get rid of their pine needles. Some of them do burn them, but it sounds like the problem of the past was these contractors that were putting their waste in the bins. having them come by the IASIS help. Also, I've seen some or heard some criticisms that it's hard to lift and put the material. I know you're aware of. So
yeah.
Maybe if it's at the transfer station, there might be a way to facilitate.
Yeah.
And because
well, talk about the staff
they're
helping
it straight in there, and the staff's doing it.
Oh, okay,
yeah,
good.
The staff takes care of it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they pretty much. Yeah,
that kind of solves that problem.
Yeah, I had a couple that came up, and they said you know, they thought they had to assist the staff, and staff came in and said, "No, we got it." They offload it, and I thought, "Okay, we'll go down and." Oh, you're the one that told me that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
went
Jim,
down and had.
Jim, does this also represent a significant savings in cost?
It does.
Yeah.
It
so
does.
A program works better.
Yeah.
Saves money.
Saves money.
We can return that money to the public in other ways.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds like a win-win.
Yeah, I agree.
And I've heard no complaints, so everybody's good other than it's a little bit far. Oh, well.
Yeah. Now, typically our Pine Needle bin program, because we had the bins sitting out there, we discontinued them during the winter, the rainy months. I think that's still advisable, although because of the savings Director Peters just mentioned, I think we could expand this program to perhaps go April, May, June, July, August, September, October. I mean, we could potentially do it, you know, 6 or 7 months out of the year easily within our budget.
You know, I think that's what we've been looking for. This program has been frustrating the board for a couple of years now because of the problems, but it sounds like we've largely curtailed the bigger problems.
We did.
Saved money. That allows us to expand the program. I mean, this is all good news.
Okay.
Everybody I've talked to in those areas that have the bins would appreciate more time, you know, to have them sitting there too.
Right. Yeah.
I'd very much like to see the 6 months.
Yeah.
At a minimum.
I think if that's the desire of the board to move to a 6 month program, we could do that.
Like six times or one time during each month?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think the cost is somewhat more bearable too, it seems like.
It is. It is.
Yeah,
keep an eye on the budget and make sure that
absolutely
our 6 month
right
doesn't put us out of our budget.
Sure, no, we'll keep a close eye on it.
Okay, and I'd open it up for public comment, but there's nobody here.
Is direction good enough on that? You think we need a vote? I think direction, huh?
I think I got direction on
direction,
it.
Yeah.
That'll work.
Okay.
And. Maybe a press release would be in order. Make sure the public knows what we're doing and why we're doing it. And
sure.
You know,
positive.
Give the Air District a little
positive jolt out there. Sure.
Yeah.
Okay, item 6.
Just before we leave, so when's that's not going to go into effect until like next spring?
Next spring, we're at October 15th. We could possibly do one more this month if there was interest in it. I mean, if that's the desire of the board, I could check with ACES and see if they would be able to do one more this month.
Get the word out, though?
Oh, yeah, I can get the word out. That wouldn't be a problem.
Just kind of prep everything for part of next year, I guess, when people are...
Yeah. Yeah, we'll definitely roll it out. And the, you know, spring of next year. But is the board wanting one this month, or do we want to cut it off where we're at right now?
I don't see why we wouldn't have another one if we're possible, you know, able to do that.
I could do it. Yeah.
I think we're going to be able to get the word out so that people can manage it. But it looks like you got some pretty good numbers anyway.
Yeah. And let me just take a look at my... calendar here. We're at the 15th, so we could get something for the Saturday the 26th. That gives us over a week and a half to get the word out.
That'll work.
Okay. Update.
Okay, so the APCO update, we've talked a lot about this already. This is the letter we sent to Richard Corey, the executive director. I will attempt to make contact with him at the end of this month when I'm at the conference. And the other items on here, I don't have an update on the ad hoc committee for Vicini Brothers. That still remains where it was. I will do some follow-up on that. The Amador Eldorado Joint Wood Stove Replacement Program, we did that previously, and there's more money available for that program. So I'm looking at doing a second round of that program. That was the one where they provided $100,000. Eldorado got 50, we got 50, and those wood stoves went in fast.
They did all the paperwork.
They did everything. Yeah,
yeah, I like that part.
Worked out really well. Possible electric vehicle charging station at Holiday Inn Express. We just received a call late last week where they are interested in that. We have not been able to install a charging station yet with the three cities that we initially started our pilot project. As you know, we also considered one upcountry. That one didn't go in. So at this time, I may bring back to you another option for a charging station, and that would be as part of the Holiday Inn Express. But again, that I'd bring that back at the next meeting.
Is that the money that was intended for upcountry? Whatever happened to that, the one at Cafe 88?
Yeah, that one
did
not happen. Okay. And so we have budgeted $5,000 each to three projects, Sutter Creek, Amador City, and Ione, I think.
Ione or Pine Grove?
Well, then we were looking at the one upcountry in Buckhorn. That one didn't go through. So we still have three potential projects at the three cities, but it just hasn't come to fruition yet. So my only thought is if we're not able to get traction on on these, then we may look at an alternative such as this Holiday Inn. But I'll bring it back to the board.
I know I talked with Paul Bramall. One of the problems was Tesla wants them to have two units to be on their Tesla map.
Right.
So you have to have two of those charging stations to be on the map for people to know about it. So that was one of the biggest problems that he had. And we were only going to fund them for one.
For one, yeah.
They're going to have several going in Jackson here, too.
Yeah,
Tesla.
Melvin Faye's getting
Back
in the back parking lot?
I think up to eight of them.
Okay. A whole bank of them, yeah.
Yeah.
So that's the update. The financials are included. And then the last item is correspondence, and we did get a letter from the Lockwood Fire Protection District in your packet. And that's it.
Okay. Thanks, Jim.
All
meeting,
right.
Meeting adjourned.
Thank you.
You started off a little rough, but you finished strong.
There we go.